You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
We're on riverboat gambling trips.
You're gonna die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Friday, June 10th, 2022. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner. DM's always open for you. And smash the button so you get this mother clucker once it goes live. We have a bonus episode today. It's 45 minutes with Claudia Bellafato and Travis Thomas. Now, the three of us work together. We host Lunchline and Nesson Ultimate Betting Show on the New England Sports Network. We've all joined forces to make an amazing show for you. What's it like to build a show? How do we handicap? A lot going on here in Boston. Celtics, Warriors, the Red Sox getting hot. What will the Patriots look like? Will we ever be able to bet sports in Massachusetts? And what's it like to work with me? I can't imagine those answers are very strong. So this is it. We're going to let it rip. It's about 45 minutes with Claudia and Travis. Here you go. Joining me for the first time, and hopefully not the last time, on Chicken Dinner, my teammates, my cohorts at Nesson, Bets, Claudia Bellafato, Travis Thomas, squad.
Woo! Woo! Let's go.
I was gonna save that for the very end, but
how did I not know you were
set the tone?
Do that. Wow.
Set the tone.
How's your chicken?
Bark. All right, that was weak.
She was holding back.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you guys have the threads on too. This feels like a family affair. You know, I had to keep this whole thing under wraps. The first audition we did was in the middle of October 2021. And the last audition we did was March of 2022. It was 6 months of chaos. I couldn't tell anybody like who we were looking at. All the questions, when's the show start? Who's on the show? Who are we considering? Ribbit. Can't tell anybody anything. How did you guys get involved with this whole process? Like, when did you, Claudia, you go first, like the whole Nesson thing in the first place?
So I've been wanting to work at Nesson forever, and I always joke about this because I interviewed here, what, Sam, you saw me over the past 5 years. I was here three times. Like, I came for a digital role, I think twice, and then right out of college for something else. So I've always wanted to work at Nesson, and that was right out of college, went to Syracuse, graduated, you know, sent out a million emails, said Nesson is my dream spot. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll be a producer, I'll be a writer, whatever. And basically auditioned, didn't get a gig that first year out of college. So did some minor league baseball reporting in upstate New York, and then did some local news, which was god awful. And then I kept going back to Nesson, and I kept shooting them emails saying, hey, I just did this. Here's, you know, my new reel, blah, blah, blah. And came back in another audition. Didn't get it again. So I was like, all right, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to dive into this betting space because it's something a lot more fun. And I feel like it's something I can do a lot longer. Like that local news grind, which every job's going to be monotonous and, you know, the same thing every day. But betting was a lot more like personality. I feel like I could put a lot more of my personality in it. So I was just doing live streams for random websites, and Elite Sports Betting was the first sort of team that took me on. So I would host a noon show for them every day. And I literally just taught myself betting, and it was a day-to-day process. And then next thing you know, I move out to Vegas and I'm working for WynnBET. I was like, I don't know how all this happened literally in 5 months. And then next thing you know, Sammy P texts me and he's like, wait, how long is your contract? I'm like, 2 years out in Vegas. He's like, is there a chance that you could break that? And I was like, honestly, I don't know. I ended up firing my old agent, who love him, much respect, signed a new agent who was like, yeah, technically, like, it's going to be messy, but if you want to go to Nesson, and I was like, stop right there. I was like, yep, I've been wanting to go to Nesson forever. If this is what I was meant to do, if I didn't get all those other positions because this is what I was meant to do, let's just do it. So I flew out here. I knew it was like towards the very end of the whole auditions, and just got to it with Sammy, which was super cool because I'd never done a show with a friend of mine. And now I'm here.
Well, what's crazy, just reacting to her for a second, is she's so good at betting that it's almost like...
It's annoying.
It's eye.
Shut up.
Well, it's eye-opening to me to hear that she's so new in the space, because I've been doing it for 15 years. And to see her hit all the bets she does and the knowledge she has and the numbers that she keeps in her head, which is still just amazing to me, is crazy. So I think it shows a lot of your work ethic.
Thanks, Trav.
For me, you know, like growing up, I have to go back to growing up, right? So I always saw Nesson as someone from the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia area. I always knew about Nesson from all those championship teams with the Red Sox in the early 2000s. Because when they would come on SportsCenter, it would have the press conferences or the highlights or the Nat calls or whatever. And you would see the courtesy bug in the top right corner, Nesson. I was like, what's that? And, you know, you figure out, oh, New England Sports Network. So I always had this like reverence for this network to begin with. And then very similar to Claudia, like my agent just kind of hit me up and was like, hey, Nesson's looking to get in the sports betting space. That's my jammy jam. And I was in the final year of my contract at the time. I was doing radio in D.C. So he was like, you know, I think I could finesse something. If you were to get the job, would you be interested? I was like, would I be interested? I mean, come on. So I came up, I auditioned, and I didn't even think it was the best audition I ever had. Like, I've auditioned for different things throughout my career and crushed it. Had like outer body experiences. Oh my God, I'm getting this job. I was so good today and I didn't get the job. And so I came here and I did okay. And I was like, I'm not going to get that. That wasn't even my best. And next thing you know, I got the call from my agent. Shout out to Alan Sanders. They liked you. What's up? And I was like, let's go. And the rest is history.
You got to talk about, though, because Mike always says, he's like, when I called Travis to tell him.
So it's funny, right? So Mike, our supervisor, and Sammy P, both. I think Mike called me after the news came out, like right away, that they told me I got the audition. And I was just screaming about coming here and what I was going to do and that I was honored to be a part of this network, which is the truth. And then Sammy, being a great friend that he is, called me my final day of DC radio, which was an emotional day for me, to be honest, to say goodbye to that audience and my hometown. I mean, it's the first time for me leaving the nest, too. So it was an emotional day for me. Sammy calls me directly after my show. And I was just screaming at him on the phone with excitement. Like, I don't even know what I said, but I just remember him laughing and being like, I'll see you soon, buddy. I just wanted to say congrats. And, you know, and we got off the phone. I was just screaming like, I'm coming up.
Well, not to get too deep in the weeds here, and we're going to talk about a lot of topics on this episode. But once we knew that the two of you were available and interested, it was like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah. One of the bosses brought me into his office and said, do you know Travis Thomas? And I was like, yeah, he stole my wallet one time. And then it turns out Claudia becomes available and we met through Ariel, you know. So it's a weird path to getting everybody here. But the fact that this is the team, it makes me super happy. And I can't tell you enough how many times people have sent me a message or a tweet or a direct message or whatever, like, you guys look like you're having so much fun on television. And I think it's important to understand the results are going to come and go. You're going to be hot like Travis. You're going to be cold like me. It happens. But if we can convey to the audience that we're firing and we're having fun and the show looks good and it looks like we all enjoy each other's company, that's the show. Those are going to be the best shows, the ones with the most chemistry.
Hey, you mentioned those lint rollers, so I'm going to need your help later on.
If okay. If Travis just took his red chicken dinner hoodie off, his white dress shirt.
If you don't have a chicken dinner hoodie, though, you need one. The first time I saw Sammy P, I was like, oh, I need that red hot. But yeah, no, it's true. It's kind of crazy. Like, at first, it was definitely daunting to go from, I know you guys both did something daily, but I was just doing something sort of two times a week at Wynn. I was an ambassador more so. To come in here and do two shows a day and to do an article, it was a lot. If I didn't have you guys, it would be completely different. I would have felt in over my head, but it's fun. It's genuinely fun to do this show.
Amen.
Somebody told me that the three of us are all completely different bettors. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a lot of truth to that. I feel like I'm more market and feel. You're definitely inside the stats and the trends and the homework. And then Travis is just John Wayne. You know, he's got two pistols on his hips and he's just firing. But at the same time, nobody wants to watch a show with three Travises or three Claudias or three of me. Maybe our parents would. Nobody wants to watch the same thing. And I think what makes us all different is going to make us good and also make us relate. Like, somebody might not like how I do it or how you do it or how Travis does it, but you get a nice blend. Like, how do you describe yourself as a handicapper? How do you break down games? What's the most important thing or two?
Yeah, this is the issue I run into because I'm too steady. And this is what I talk about. Before, I had a podcast where, you know, I could sit there with my laptop and I had all of the stats and all the websites I looked at and the box scores. And it was easy to just break down and shoot the shit on the podcast. And it was definitely a big change for me going to do live TV where we have these really quick segments and we got to be out by a certain time. And I talked with our boss, Mike, and I'm like, I just feel like I have way too much on my plate. And he's like, well, what do you think is one thing you could change? I was like, oh, I definitely use too many stats because I'll look at my notes and I'm like trying to remember a million things. But that's because that's my process. And what I'm learning now is I can use a million different stats, but I don't have to tell you all of them, right? Like, that's how I handicap. I'll look at, of course, and I always like to say trends aren't predictive, but sometimes I like to see if there is a trend, and then I'll dig into the stats. And if the numbers, you know, match up with what that trend is telling us, then it's not necessarily just a trend, but there's a reason for it. But the stats is what I dig into. That's why I love baseball betting, because there's so many stats that you can look at.
You're
so
crushing
many
baseball
advanced stats.
Crushing.
Well, it's just a blast because I feel like with basketball, I keep saying, if you guys watch the show, I'm like, I'm so fucking sick of the basketball, period, of the basketball. The finals are pissing me off because there's just so much. It's like you don't know what to expect from who. You have these all-stars who come out and just, you know, put up whatever it is, 12 points the next game. They drop 30, where I feel like with baseball, of course, you're going to have an ace go out there and have that one bad game, which all of them do. But I feel like it's different in baseball. You have so many advanced stats you can look at. You can look at the positive or negative regression. And that's just what I like to do, because unfortunately, as a woman, whatever I tell you when it comes to betting, you're not going to believe me as much as Sammy or Travis, because I'm a chick. What do I know, right? Which I understand, I haven't been in the space that long, but I'm not telling you to bet the Red Sox just to bet the Red Sox. I'm telling you because of this, 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 and this. And you can go look up those stats yourself, but I just did it for you. So that's how I go with it.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the numbers and the analytics. I look at all that stuff. We all do our prep. But for me, you know, maybe I'm old school in a sense because I just watch a lot of games. Claudia and I always joke about how she just started getting into a show, but neither one of us really watch like TV outside of sports. I watch a ton of games. And so for me, the numbers and the analytics will really just either back up what I'm thinking and what my gut says after watching a team three or four times. Or it'll be like, all right, am I going to go with the numbers or what my eyeballs are telling me? And that's really my style. That's probably why it feels like, you know, that taking chances guy. Because, I mean, I am. At the end of the day, it is gambling. So a lot of times I just go off of my gut of watching a team three or four times. I'll figure out, okay, is this team mentally tough? Or how do they feel when they're down? Are they a good team from playing from behind? Are they a front runner team? I look at stuff like that. How do coaches handle adjustments, things like that? And then I'll use that process of what I've watched to make my next bet on that team or not make the next bet on that team.
So the Warriors, are they mentally tough or mentally weak?
Of course they're mentally tough. The thing is, right, this is my theory. You guys know I'm all about theories. To me, people forget pre-Kevin Durant. Pre-Kevin Durant, this team proved that they could come back from adversity. They did it. They were down to OKC. They were down to Houston. They've had several times along the way when it was just the Splash Brothers and Draymond where they overcame adversity. KD gets there and it changes everything. They're invincible. Everyone started hating them, me, myself included. So we almost forget that. And now he's been gone. And to be honest, I think they kind of need each other, too. I think Kevin Durant looks at what's going on and is like, why am I with Kyrie? And I bet you right now he would never admit it. Steph Curry's like, damn, I wish I had Kevin Durant. Because that's really what they need, is another dynamic kind of player in this series.
The creator.
Clay is still not really right yet. But I do not for a second think that this team's going to lay down and think that, oh, it's over. Even if they lose. I mean, listen, they could lose game four and still come back and win the series. I mean, you have to finish that team off. So I think they are tough. For me, it all comes down to Steph Curry's health. If he's healthy enough to be himself, I think they're very much so alive in this series.
You're born and raised here. How do you balance your Celtics fandom with doing your job? You have to assess this game without bias. Boston's a 4-point favorite. They just won pretty big in game number three. What does your gut say, and then what does your head say?
Yeah, I actually take into consideration that mental toughness, and I don't know if it's the media that's sort of pumping, you know, the press conferences of where the Warriors are saying, oh, well, the Boston fans, blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, you're soft as shit. If that's really a concern for you, just fucking play the game, whatever. Boston's a good team. Like, it's funny because, and I was talking about this last night, actually, with my buddy who's on the Celtics. He doesn't actually play, but we were talking about like what the locker room is like before the games and after the games, and they talk about it, right? They're like, yeah, all the fans, like the fans love us. There's no place like Boston. That's why people hate us so much, because we have the most passionate fan base. And the Celtics players say that. They're like, that is our sixth man out there. Like, let's do this for the city of Boston. And so I love that part of it. But it's also just the talent on this team, which honestly, I didn't fully expect. I think back to our audition, though, right? And we were talking about, it was some sort of number. How many wins do you think the Celtics will have at this point? And I think you were fading them. You're like, yeah, I don't really know. I said, I just have a feeling no one knows their role yet. Mm. And no one has the confidence yet, because they don't know their ceiling, right? It's tough when you have a new head coach and you have all of these young players. To build that confidence takes time. And I think the fact that they leaned on their defense sort of led to that. So now that they know they have the best defense, they are up against a Warriors team that was supposed to be the best offense, and they're able to limit them the way that they are, and they're able to get their role players involved, and Horford's able to do what he does, and White's able to do what he does with Tatum and Brown, you know, playing their game. I think that's given them the confidence they need to push through, because they already knew that their defense was there. But if they're able to outplay the Warriors when it comes to offense, I keep saying this, limit those damn turnovers, crash the boards like they did when they have double the offensive boards and they have double the points in the paint. They're winning this, period. It doesn't matter how many threes Steph takes, because at this point, I think the Celtics are more headstrong and have more depth, really.
They are the deeper team. I also think they're the better team. But that still doesn't mean that Steph can't come in here game four and score 45 and send this back to San Francisco tied 2-2. That's my big fear going into game number four for Celtics fans. I mean, I could care less if they win or lose. That's not my job to, you know, make sure that the fans are happy. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make you some money. And last game, I went over on Marcus Smart. I thought that number was too low, and we talk about opportunity and volume. My favorite prop is probably going to make you laugh. I don't know if you feel the same way as Claudia would, but Draymond Green's point prop is the lowest it's been of his postseason career tonight. See, you don't like Draymond.
It's
7.5. Like, his point prop in postseasons past has been 11.5, 10.5, 11.5, 10.5. Earlier in the series, 9.5. And now we are at 7.5. And if there's one game that he's going to come out and take 15 fucking shots, it's game number four. Like, I'm not saying I want to bet it over in every single game, but if there's one game where he needs to do something, and by something I mean make four baskets, is it not game number four?
Really quick, Trap, I'll let you take over here, but I really didn't answer your question about the fandom. If I had money on Draymond Green coming into this game and I'm sitting on my couch, I need to be at a bar. I need to start being social. It's damn Friday night. If I'm sitting at a bar and watching this game and I'm like, come on, Draymond. No, hell no.
Okay, I knew how you were going to feel about this.
He's too caught up in pissing them off and tripping and getting his feet all over their faces to score a damn basket. Go drive.
I'm not going to allow you to gloss over that lie that you just told when you said, no, I'll go to a bar and be social. You know damn well you're going to be on your couch tonight. Listen, I'm with you, Sammy. I'm actually doing points, rebounds, and assists combined for Draymond. It's at 20.5. I think you're going to have a vintage Draymond Green game tonight where it is ugly, but he's effective. I think you'll hit your points over. I think he'll have some boards and some dimes, and he is going to be full-blown antagonist with that crowd, and it's going to be beautiful.
Hold on. I see you licking your lips. You have a stat, don't you?
No, I just wanted to remind myself. 2 points, 9 points, 4 points.
Right. I know all right. that.
Okay.
He was 2 of 12 in game number one, and then his volume has slowly dropped. But he's been, when you talk about the resiliency of their team in the past, games 4, 5, 6, and 7, he's been better the later a series goes. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to score 20 points. I just need 8. How about this? If he scores 8 and the Celtics win, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
I can have
that's fine. I know it, but my concern is the volume. When I watched that game, and I heard a bunch of people say this too, so it wasn't just me, it literally felt like he was useless in that game. Like, he could have never touched that floor and nothing would have been.
He played like one of the guys in Space Jam when the aliens took his talent.
Yeah.
And he... like, that's how he played in the last game. But yeah. I think it's important to understand that a lot of bettors, and we do that segment on our show called Follow the Crowd, a lot of bettors will look at the box score of the last game and only the last game, and see that a guy scored 2 points. If Draymond Green was a stock, Draymond Green is DraftKings right now.
Sammy P, will you hear on Chicken Dinner, exclusive, acknowledge that there was a Space Jam 2 with LeBron James?
I watched it. I hate watched it.
Did you? I didn't watch it.
Haven't we talked about this? I hate watched it. I wasn't going to watch it. Well, because I'm the Jordan kid. But when I was 9 years old, Michael had 6 championships. Like, I'm always Team Jordan. So when LeBron was like, well, I'm going to copycat Space Jam, I thought, I'm not watching it. And then I hate watching it. I hate watch the shit out of it.
He pisses me off. I just don't even think I could watch it.
So we have to be careful because LeBron is he's a stockholder.
Crap. Yeah,
it's okay.
We love you, Bronny.
He pisses me off because he's so good.
I don't think he's listening
as
to Chicken
any
Dinner.
As any other fan that is not a Lakers fan. Seriously, is that not true?
We love you, Bron.
Unless you grow up like loving him, you watch him, and if he's not on your team, you want him to be.
I respect him. I think he's an amazing basketball player. One of the best 5 that has ever played the game. But it doesn't mean I have to root for him. I thought the most pivotal scene in the entire movie was when his son, at halftime, left the bad team for the good team. give it the Oscar for best performance. Most realistic performance. Travis can't hold it together over there.
I need to back this up, all right? Because I'm just trying to... It's true that I think because he gets LeBron treatment, but this is because of the media, it's because of fans, it's because of referees. That is what makes people maybe not like him as much. No one can deny his talent, period. We know that. Otherwise, he wouldn't be compared to Michael Jordan. But the way that the refs and everyone else treats him makes you feel like, I don't want to root for this guy because he's just going to get whatever he wants. And that's all I was saying by. I'll say the situation pisses me off. It could be Jason Tatum. It could be LeBron James. But the star treatment gets to me. No matter who it is. No matter Tom Brady.
Right.
When you're, and love him, obviously. You know, he was our quarterback. But when he's out here throwing F-bombs at opposing coaches and he doesn't get anything called for him, but because a guy does a quick little whatever move after a play and he gets a flag, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the star treatment. It is not fair to me, regardless of what player it is.
I had to go back and look at that 2015 finals when they lost and Andre Iguodala won the MVP. They said, narrative-wise, that he limited LeBron.
Oh, please.
LeBron in that finals averaged 36 points a game, 13 rebounds a game, and 9 assists a game with a steal and a half and almost a block a game.
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
He was the best player in that series, even though they lost. And also, he's carrying Timofey Mozgov, who started all 6 games. He's carrying
Dellavedova,
Tristan Thompson, Iman Shumpert, James Jones, Mike Miller, Joe Harris.
Yeah.
That team stunk.
That's a bunch of Uber drivers, substitute teachers.
Iman's a dancer.
Bagging groceries.
Is he?
Yeah, like male strippers. Like, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with those jobs. I'm just saying, I didn't say NBA players for any of those descriptions.
He's done more with less than maybe any other player I've ever seen.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. He's a goat. That's why
I'd fight you on that.
No, that's why he's in the conversation of the GOAT. I think it's that whole conversation is tough when you're talking about different time periods of sports, but like that's a whole nother avenue to go down. But
let's talk about another polarizing topic here. There are many Patriots fans that listen to this show now, as it is more from the Midwest to the Northeast. And I think, Travis, is you're still banging the drum on the over train with New England, right? 8.5, the win total for them?
Yeah, I mean, I saw 7.5 and I pounced on it, so I have a ticket on that, but I'm not going to sit here and act that confident. I mean, the Matt Patricia thing is very concerning to me. You know, to have that guy calling your plays, and has he ever done that offensively? Maybe once
never.
In his career?
No,
early?
Never.
Yeah, I mean, that's concerning.
And it's Joe Judge and Matt Patricia in right. 39 combined years of coaching. Neither one has ever worked with a quarterback.
It's not good. And by the way, there's a young quarterback here who's still learning his way. So, and it's not the most weapons you've ever seen for at his disposal either. So I'm very concerned with it. But for me, it's more just about how good the AFC is. And I just think there's good value on the Patriots because everyone's going to be fading them. I think everyone's going to say, oh, look at this team and this team and this team. Mm-hmm. Patriots have nothing. Meanwhile, I think that formula in which they're going to play with, I'm assuming, good defense and running the football, that formula is proven time and time and time again that you can win games with it. Now, in this new era of the NFL, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with that. You know, you have to have an aerial attack. But certainly, I think as it pertains to winning games, I think they're going to be right around 7 or 8 wins. It's going to be tight. It's going to be right there. I'm going to be sweating until the last week of the season, I think. But I do, yeah, I do think you're looking at an 8, maybe an 8-9 football team. Best case, 9-8, and that's probably not going to get you in the playoffs with that conference.
Best case, 9-8.
How many games are they favored in? I know we talked about it on the show.
8?
At Lunchline yesterday. It's 8.
8 or 9?
Yeah. It sucks because, and I'm so high. Like, I absolutely love the Patriots. I love Bill Belichick. I love Mac Jones. I was so high on Mac Jones last season. And, you know, I made good money on them, whether it was props or whatnot. Mac Jones was one of the best quarterbacks in certain stats. Like, he was up there with Derek Carr. He was up there with Patrick Mahomes in terms of completion percentage. The talent is there. That's very obvious. The coaching definitely concerns me. And I know the argument everyone says is, well, Bill Belichick's going to be making the call, so who cares? Okay, but if you can have a coach specifically to work with the offense, specifically to work with Mac Jones, why wouldn't you take the initiative to do that right. So Bill Belichick can take care of the rest? It does worry me. And it's funny because going into the draft, you know, you listen to all the sports hub and you listen to all the radio stations heading into the draft, and everyone's low selling on the Patriots, saying, oh, Bill's going to come in and he's going to do what he always does and take some random kid. Next thing you know, Cole Strange, that's all people talk about for the next week. So Travis makes a good point, is everyone is basically going to take that under on the total wins, and everyone's probably going to bet against them in every game or every other game. There's definitely going to be a lot of Patriots haters. But there was also, I think, last season, heading into that season, a lot of people doubted Mac Jones. A lot of people doubted the offense. And then they had one of the best defenses, and they did beat some really good teams, and Mac Jones showed what he could do. But it concerns me that it doesn't have weapons, and it concerns me what the secondary is going to look like. They never really filled in that number one role with J.C. Jackson gone. And I keep saying this because it's true. There's too many questions, and now you take the coaching situation into account. And, you know, everyone's saying that Mac Jones looks really good, but is Devontae Parker really going to be that guy for him? Maybe everyone's better and we're all wrong and the Patriots, you know, go on to win 10 games. But it is a little concerning for me right now when I look at the schedule. Like I told Sammy, there's maybe like 6 games that I confidently think they will win this game. And I'm sure there will be more, but right now 6 is that number.
Even if you throw in a couple upsets, you're at 8,
right?
And you're going to need 9 to win that bet. I just go to this schedule from week 12 on, and we've talked about this on our show. Week number 12 at Minnesota. Week 13, they're at home against Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go at Cardinals, at Raiders. Then they come home and get the Bengals, the Dolphins, and finish up the season at the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games where they might win 2.
Yeah.
A lot of primetime games in there, too.
They might win two of those seven.
A lot of primetime games.
So they could be at a spot where they get to, you know, the first part of the schedule is very easy. You've got a lot of winnable games. You've got the Lions and the Jets and the Bears and the Browns, and who knows if Watson plays. That could be a team where they are on six wins with seven to go, and then they still don't get there. Right. We should bet the first half over.
But week five on, you would say, because Miami's going to be tough, Pittsburgh, whatever, but Baltimore, Green Bay, and then you got Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago. So, yeah, I would say like week five. It's the middle of their schedule, really.
That's easy.
Yeah, the middle of the schedule is easy. It's basically going to be a rocky start, which is the opposite thing of you want, you know, that easy start, but we know how they play, especially in Miami, so... I'll bet the middle of the season with you, Sammy.
Yeah, we can't really bet that. Imagine calling the bookie being like, hey, I want to bet over like 4.5 wins from week five.
Should be available.
Some of these books have, you know, make your own bet. Yeah. And when I was living in Illinois for years, you know, PointsBet had the make your own wager. Mm-hmm. And you could actually submit the bet and then the trading team would look at it and essentially say yes or no. And granted, they wouldn't take a lot of money on it. That's sort of a cool wrinkle, although we can't bet in Massachusetts here, right? You guys both know that?
Not yet.
Everyone keeps asking me about it. I'm like,
yo, where can I bet?
I'm not the legal system. I don't know.
Claudia, when is betting legal?
Wait, but they did. Okay, I'm confused because I remember when I was moving home, I kept seeing everything like Boston or Massachusetts is legalizing it. And so I thought it was in the process, but now I haven't heard anything. Then.
So I'll give you the cliff notes. So the House has passed a bill. And the Senate has passed a bill, but the two bills are completely different. One of them will allow college. The Senate bill does not allow college. The tax rates are different in both. There are other stipulations and all that. And then one of the bills, the Senate bill, does not want advertising during games. So during a Celtic game, mm-hmm. Red Sox game, Bruins game, Patriots game, they don't want a sports book to be able to have any ad space in the game or in the commercials. And the House is like, we don't care. Just let's get it here. So the Senate bill is more restrictive. The House bill is more free. Mm-hmm. That being said, they need to essentially turn two bills into one. And in this state, that is a very complicated issue. And it has been.
Here's a translation. It's coming.
Yeah, but that's what they've been saying. They're losing so much money. It blows my mind.
And now Maine is going to be legal soon. So you could get in your car and you live in the Boston, you know, metro area downtown. You could drive essentially by football season. You could drive north to New Hampshire, northeast to Maine, south to Rhode Island, southwest to Connecticut. And if you're in Western Mass, you can go west to New York. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 states you can bet in. And that's maddening to me. That living in Boston, I can't bet on.
It's literally money driving out.
All right, let's bet right now in show bet. My bet is Massachusetts is legal, operational, ready to rock and roll by football season. Who's taking that bet?
I honestly wouldn't with how slow they've been. I don't think I would. How have they not figured it out by now? Literally, how have they not figured it out? Everyone else is doing it.
They've had since May of 18. That's when Pasqua got struck down. So they've had over 4 years now to figure it out. I agree with you, but I don't think college will be a part of it.
That's fine.
That being said, you can always fix that. You could always amend a bill or do a new bill or whatever. In Illinois, I remember they had this in Illinois when they said you can't bet on any Illinois college teams or events inside the state. And Chicago has the NCAA tournament, bowl games, all that type of stuff. They figured that out because like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Like what? And if anything, and not to have this whole conversation about legalization and all that, but not being able to bet on college makes it more likely that shady shit happens on college.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because if Massachusetts gaming can see all the bets that come in, that's how you catch point shavers. You know, the bookie only has a morsel of data, but if every bet that comes into Massachusetts, you know, you're able to see it, that makes it easier. And then all of a sudden, Massachusetts Gaming is like, wait, why is this Massachusetts first half taking thousands of dollars every single week? Mm-hmm. And then you do the investigation, and then you find out, oh, so-and-so's crooked or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't figure that out without legalized gaming. Legalized gaming is better.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You should go tell them that, Sammy. That was very convincing.
Well, I remember when I was living in Vegas, I'm talking to all these bookmakers and, you know, Chris Andrews at the South Point and Jay Cornegay at the Westgate. They're like, you know how many times a senator or rep from a different state has come here and asked us questions? Mm. None.
Wow.
So the politicians are all acting like they know
sports
betting, but you'd think you would go to Nevada to talk to somebody who's done it for a living.
Hey, Senator, what's a money line?
Sammy, do you know that my retirement plan one day when I'm old and gray is to run my own sports book?
Is it really? That?
Ooh. Yeah.
I have no idea how to get there, but that's what I want to do.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to start a band and just sing Dirty Water all over the state.
No, that's during my career.
Oh.
But retirement will be running a book.
His new favorite song.
Oh, my Dirty God. Water.
You love that song?
Are you kidding me? It's a lifestyle. It's not a song.
I come into work. What was this? The first week.
Right?
It was literally the first day. First of all, when Travis, when we were just having meetings, like this was before the show.
Before anybody knew anybody.
I didn't know Travis well, right? So I like walk in and I see this dude with Red Sox glasses. Like, you know those Ray-Bans? Like, whatever, random companies will make these.
No, these are Walgreens sunglasses.
Yeah, no, these are literally Walgreens. Yeah, not Ray-Bans, but like that's what they look like. They're those really cheap Walgreens with Boston Red Sox logos on the eyes. And I walk in, I'm like, okay. Of course, then I get to know him. Like, this guy's awesome. But he quite literally carried those glasses with him to every meeting had that day. I'm like, you know, you don't need to bring those. Next thing you know, I come into work and I hear him, frustrated women. I'm like, wait.
That's the only part I sing.
That is the only part to this day. I hear him sing it once a day. He only sings, frustrated women. And anytime a Boston asshole does something stupid or there's a stupid picture of a guy painting his body in Celtics colors, he'll send it to me and just go, frustrated woman. I'm like, now you feel my pain.
He is always singing something.
Always. Always. Listen, I have embraced this city and they have embraced me and I appreciate it. I love it here. It is a sports mecca for me. As an outsider, you know, Claudia listened to a radio interview I did in DC recently and she heard it. Like, there is so much hate for Boston sports. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And growing up as an outsider in a different area, there was hate then. I mean, I grew up with friends that just despised everything Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots, you name it. And I never was like that. I wasn't a fan, but I always was like, why are you hating on a team that's a dynasty? Why are you hating on a city that wins championships? Like, their standard is championships. Don't we all want to be that? Why are you hating? But that's just hate in general,
hate
right?
Like, they ain't
that's jealousy, right? Like, that's how it is in life, period. Like, that transcends sports. Like, people hate the two of you because you're successful and you're doing this. And both of you, I see it, have trolls of people like, oh, well, why'd you pick this team? Well, why'd you say that? Why'd you wear that? Shut it up, okay? You're hating because you can't do it. It's easy to be a fat slob and sit on the sidelines and criticize someone else, right? So me, as a fan of sports, I always had respect for Boston sports and Boston in general. So now that I'm here, I think the people here feel that because that's what I'm giving out.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun,
dun. I said, frustrated women.
That's probably the only line you know from the song.
Nah, man, I love that song, man. That's just my favorite part. That's all.
We have like 5 minutes left to go here because we all have things to do and we have shows to prep for. Best part about working with me, what is it?
Oh, man.
You
want me to go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah, Claudia needs to think about it first.
All right, so first of all, I've already kind of worked with you, just not in this everyday way. But what's great for me is like the sample sizes I've had from working with Sammy over the years. I always thought he was well prepared, knowledgeable. I call him Chi-Town Soul because I always thought he has swag. And that was like my kind of, like I said, like my sample size of what I painted Sammy P in my head to be. Now that I work with him every single day, all those things are true, except they're on steroids. Like everything, like he's super prepped, but now I see his prep and I'm like, oh my God, like he's really prepped. Then I have to tell this story, Sammy P. I know it's going to embarrass you. So the first time when I guess I started working here and I went to his place, his apartment, and he's giving me the tour, And the first thing I did was open his closet. Like, it was so inappropriate for me.
I can't wait. Like,
I was so inappropriate.
And there I saw.
Like, he's like, here's our room, blah, blah, blah. And I just opened his closet. That's how I know I'm his friend. He didn't punch me in the face.
No.
So I opened the closet, and it is so meticulous. Y'all,
I was really hoping for something more interesting than that.
There was a dead body.
No, it's meticulous. Like, sports coats, color coordinated. Pants over here, shoes over there, everything. And I was like, this is exactly what I envision your closet to be. And that's my point, is that he's just so together. Like, Sammy P's very together. Even his on-air presence, everything, his presentation, he's just got it together. And that's, for me, like, working with you now every day, it's that. It's like, it's the realization that that's just who you are.
Well, last time I went to Sammy P's place, we ripped a shot before the Celtics game, and he gave me some old rum chata and Jaeger and was like, all right, let's go. Oh.
And then so Claudia goes, do you have anything to eat? I'm like, we have chocolate-covered almonds. She's like, ooh, I love those.
So we clearly have very different experiences. There are so many things about Sammy P that I could say. I don't want to gas you up too much. I think, honestly, though, the best part of it is, like, you're like a big brother to me, and you're going to tell it to me straight, and you're not going to gloss over things. In my position, I ask a lot of people for advice, and there's a lot of mentors that I go to, and I will ask them, you know, what can I change? What can I fix? What do you genuinely think about how I'm doing? And a lot of the times, just, you're doing awesome. You're crushing it. Keep doing this. You know, I don't have any changes. You're going to tell me, like yesterday, I said, I was like, I screwed this up. And you're like, well, just don't do as many stats. And I'm like, it's so true. I just don't need to do as many stats. Like, you're not afraid to tell me what I need to do. And that's the only way I'm going to get better. And because I am new to the space, like, that's the number one thing. And I trust you because you've been doing it for so long. So I would say, out of all the amazing, wonderful things that you do, maybe minus the shot that we took, but you are a very good mentor and like a big brother to me.
Okay, now you have to go first on this one. Worst part about working with me.
He's an asshole. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Honestly, the worst thing is that I will take so much time to prep. And I know that he preps, like, you do your prep. But it's just so easy for Sammy. Like, he'll just roll in and be like, all right, let's go. And here I am staring at my notes like, okay, I need to know this, 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 and this. That's literally the thing that pisses me off the most, is that you're just so good at it. And I'm like,
well,
what the
I've
hell?
Been doing it for 15 years. Yeah. I mean, every single day. Like, this job for me is, the fact that it's an actual job is, yeah. I still can't believe it. Travis?
Well, it's a real friendship, because it's actually the worst, best thing about you. For me, it's that Sammy keeps me on track, because I enjoy going off the rails, and I enjoy taking hard left turns. And so Sammy does a great job of, every now and again, he'll say, easy, Tiger, or hey, whoa. And I'm like, all right, you're right. But sometimes I wish he would just go there with me. But then it would probably just be Claudia hosting this podcast, because Sammy and I would be in the abyss, canceled.
Okay.
Go there with me.
You know I would if I could.
Frustrated women.
All right, last question involves our show. And if you don't already know.
Wait, that has to be the name of this podcast. Frustrated Woman.
Okay, all right. We can make that. I know a guy who can make that happen. Lunchline is every day, 1 o'clock, Monday through Friday on SNBets.com. Ultimate Betting Show is Monday through Friday, mostly 5:30, depending on the Red Sox schedule. If somebody were to ask you both, what is your goal for the show by football season? What do you envision the show looking like? How do you envision it feeling? Like, because we're still in the preseason here in the beginning of June. We got a long way to go. I'm extremely happy with the team. The crew kicks ass. The show looks super sexy. Mm-hmm. We use the studio unlike any show that has ever been on the air here at Nesson does. Mm-hmm. But what are your goals for our shows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the time limit off of it. I don't care if it's football season or whenever it happens. I just want a hit show. I mean, to me, like, you know, I think we have a hit. I think as a consumer, like I said, like, all I watch is sports, and I watch a lot of sports betting content, TV, phones, podcasts, you name it. I do not believe that anyone, I'll put us against anyone, I don't think anyone captures the information and the personality like we do. I really believe that. And so to me, I think we have a hit show. Now, that's why I say I don't want to say by football season, because we could have a, we could, our ratings could go crazy, or we go crazy on viral or whatever by tomorrow. You just don't know how this stuff works, or it could take a year. But to me, I just want the goal, the ultimate goal for the whole team. I believe we have a hit and I want it to hit.
My goal, I guess, would sort of be the same, but by football season, I want people to be like, oh, Ultimate Betting Show's on at 5:30. I want to watch
like
that.
Appointment TV.
Like they, it's not just on at the bar and right. You're not just like, oh, hey, yeah, I've seen those people. Like you want to watch it like you would watch another show on SportsCenter, on ESPN. And like Travis said, it is such a fun show. We give out plays throughout. And I want people to watch for that reason, but I want them to watch because they want to see us and they want to have fun with us and they want to send us questions. Like that's another thing. If we're going to talk about something specific, I want people to start sending in questions and sending in comments that we can pull up because we have this awesome, you know, we have a ton of awesome graphics and we can literally pull up their tweet and we can, you know, we'll say it's from you if it's from you. So that's really exciting. And then also some big name guests that I know we're going to have eventually. We want to get our faces out there, let everyone know that, you know, we're the face of Ness and Betts. But then once we bring these big names, I think that's going to help a lot too. So mid football season, I just want people to tune in to watch us.
I also would like to throw another thing in that perhaps we should have a theme song. And it should be Dirty Water.
Okay. Name, we, so. I wasn't sure what your favorite song was, but now through this 50 minutes and change.
Yeah, baby. I love that dirty water.
We just have to stick together. If we lose Travis, we're cooked. If we lose Claudia, we are cooked. No turning on each other, all right?
Facts. Never.
All right.
Here facts. Forever.
You can follow the crew on Twitter at Ness and Betts, at C Bellafato TV, BellFatto.
There you go.
TV, yes.
I don't know how you say both of our names, by the way, every show at the beginning.
Yo, I didn't say your name for the first year of our friendship. You know
I know.
That. I said Sammy P.
Your
forever.
Name in my contact was Sam Pena. I swear to God, I literally changed the last
one. Close
week,
enough. So, yeah. Travis Thomas, EXP, and again, at Ness and Betts. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks, Sammy.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Claudia Bellafato and Travis Thomas. The journey just beginning. Over at the New England Sports Network. Coming up on the show, we'll talk to Katie Mox from Madison Square Garden, MSG, host of the Betting Exchange. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next week right here on Chicken Dinner.
Broken dreams held together with glue. I gotta keep on trying till that day comes true. I know that all my life I've been tired and my brother told me so, you'd be the greatest man alive.